We've talked a lot about the dire state of the health system in Gaza right now. But I do think it's valuable to hear from people who have actually seen it up close. Dr. Nick Maynard is one such person.
I saw things at Al-Aqsa Hospital which I still wake up at night thinking about. Appalling injuries in particularly women and children. The most devastating burns in small children.
Maynard spent 2 weeks in December and January volunteering in Gaza's Al-Aqsa Hospital. He's made a lot of these volunteer trips over the years, but at the United Nations earlier this week, he said nothing could have prepared him for his most recent rotation.
Some days we didn't have any surgical gloves, so we had to wash previous ones. Sometimes we had no surgical drapes. Many days we had no morphine.
This is why Maynard and a delegation of other doctors who have worked in Gaza have been urging Biden administration officials this week to push for a ceasefire. They say it's the only way to get the proper aid in. Israel, of course, has a different view. They want to push ahead with the military operation into Rafah to root out Hamas. Well, next week, top Israeli officials are expected to come to Washington, D.C., and the Biden administration will try to talk them out of it.
President Biden could look very weak, but he also sets himself up to tell Americans that he made his best effort.
From CNN, this is Tug of War. I'm David Rind. Kylie Atwood is with us today. She's CNN's national security correspondent in Washington, D.C. And so, Kylie, as we sit here on Thursday, we've been talking a lot on the show about how the relationship between the Biden administration and Israel has kind of been fraying in public recently. And it seems like those disagreements are going to be coming to a head in the next few days. Like, what are we going to see here?
Yeah, so there's two major buckets of discussion that are ongoing right now. I think the first of which is that there were these negotiations in Doha over the last few days. And we heard from the Secretary of State when he was in Saudi Arabia this week saying that he believes that those negotiations in Doha brought the sides closer to an agreement. We're not at an agreement to secure the release.
Yeah, we've heard this before.
Yeah, exactly. We've heard optimism before, and it hasn't always resulted in breakthroughs. But we have to keep an eye on that, because that's the overall goal here, to secure the release of those hostages and to get a ceasefire in place. Then the second bucket is this potential operation that Israel wants to carry out in Rafah. So Blinken is headed to Israel tomorrow. He's going to be discussing this potential operation. And then next week, there's a delegation of Israelis that are coming to Washington to discuss the matter. And the U.S. and Israel are on complete opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of how they think that operation would be best approached.
We understand also that the one thing that gets Hamas to give them is to give these hostages to us is the continued military pressure that we're applying there. So we're going to continue military pressure, and we're going to continue to try to get those hostages out. And
we've so Prime Minister Netanyahu says that a ground operation is necessary. President Biden, his top national security advisors, say that a ground operation would be really dangerous.
We've been very clear. President Biden's been very clear that a major ground operation in Rafah would be a mistake and something that we can't support. There is no place for the many civilians who are massed in Gaza, in Rafah, excuse me.
They're going to try and convince the Israelis to head in an opposite direction, another direction. We'll see how successful they can be.
Yeah, what are the options here that they're going to present? Like, what else is on the table?
Yeah, so we have heard from U.S. officials preparing for these conversations next week. They say that they want to say to the Israelis that it would be great to go after high-precision targets. So essentially, that's picking a few members of Hamas and really selectively carrying out an attack that would go after that person or, you know, that particular unit of Hamas that's in Rafah instead of, you know, an overall ground operation. The reason here is that there are 1.5 million civilians living in this area. It is so dense. So they're incredibly worried about a ground operation being deadly to those civilians, frankly put, and also preventing humanitarian aid from getting into the country.
Is the administration in a position where you guys would be willing to provide resources to Israel to actually protect the civilian population, if they're going to go
and
ahead.
Yesterday at the State Department briefing, I asked the deputy spokesperson if the U.S. is engaging in these conversations with Israel about what this military strategy would look like. Are they willing to give them actual resources to carry out an operation that would have essentially the seal of approval from the U.S.?
So I don't want to get ahead of that conversation. And if in the course of that, it is determined that our Israeli partners need X, Y, and Z, that is, of course, a conversation that we'll continue to have.
The spokesperson didn't say that they were willing to do that, didn't say that they weren't willing to do that, sort of kept the door open, which I think is interesting because it would require a tremendous amount of resources to get those civilians out of the area if you're going to carry out an operation that keeps them safe.
But that would be a huge step, right, if the U.S. was actually providing concrete resources to Israel in their operation in Gaza.
Completely.
More with Kylie in just a bit.
This podcast is supported by Sleep Number. Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature. Quiets their snores? Sleep Number does that. Only Sleep Number Smart Beds let you each choose your ideal comfort and support, your Sleep Number setting. Sleep Number Smart Beds learn how you sleep and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. All Sleep Number smart beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. Temperature-balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on Sleep Number limited edition smart beds for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome back to Tug of War and my conversation with CNN's Kylie Atwood. So I'm going to admit something to you, Kylie, and if my bosses are listening, they can skip ahead about 30 seconds here. But I've been in meetings that I really don't feel like going to, but I show up. I nod along, maybe even turn my video off and I go and do other things. And then when it's over, I just kind of pretend like it never happened. Is that what the Israeli delegation is about to do here? Like, how serious do we think they actually are about considering any of these other options that the U.S. is going to present them?
The U.S. is such a close ally that they have to entertain these conversations. This was a personal invite to the prime minister from President Biden in a phone call that they had. And so
you can't turn down an invite like that.
Exactly, right. You really don't have an option but to say yes. That gets to the second part of your question here in terms of how serious Israel is. They accepted the invite, but every indication that we have seen from Israeli officials speaking this week, including the prime minister, indicate that they have no intention to alter their plans for a Rafah invasion. That doesn't mean that this is wholly unproductive, because from the perspective of the Biden administration, even if Israel doesn't heed their advice, this could be preventing Israel from carrying out an operation in the near term. And that could hold open opportunity space here for the deal to come together on the hostages and on a ceasefire. So they want to push this can down the road.
So for the Biden administration, any time they can buy is a win for them.
Exactly.
But that's what I wanted to get at. What are the possible repercussions for Biden in terms of even calling a meeting like this in the first place?
It's a political risk for him to be engaging in this discussion because on the one hand, if Israel goes ahead with their operation, their ground operation that he has explicitly said he doesn't want them to go ahead with, President Biden could look very weak. But he also sets himself up to tell Americans that he made his best effort, that he wasn't sitting on his hands and watching Israel just go ahead, that he really did make a pitch in a very active way.
Like, hey, we tried. They didn't listen to us.
Exactly.
So you cover the State Department. You know how this diplomacy works. And we hear a lot about, like, readouts of calls and things like that during these conflicts. But can you take us behind the scenes? Like, how do these calls work and how direct is the language that these officials and leaders are using?
The relationship between the U.S. and individual countries is not the same in such that, you know, the relationship between President Biden and a newly elected president of X, Y, or Z country is going to be very cordial. But the conversation between President Biden and Prime Minister Netanyahu is much more blunt because they've known each other for decades now. Being in this tense moment isn't something new to them. And so I say that because I think that those two leaders are actually engaging in a way that's pretty direct. They're not, you know, talking around the elephant in the
room. The cards are on the table.
Exactly. Now, when it comes to the Secretary of State, Tony Blinken, and the conversations he's having with his counterparts, they are discussing many more issues at play. They're discussing what happens in Gaza the day after the war. They're discussing these ongoing efforts to get the hostages out. And I don't think that those conversations are quite as blunt, probably. But I do have some new reporting that's just out about the Secretary of State essentially growing a bit frustrated with the Qataris because Qatar has given Hamas an office in Doha. And that's where they're able to interact with the U.S., with Egypt, with all of these interlocutors. But what I'm told the Secretary of State said to Qatar just earlier this month was, you need to tell Hamas if they don't come to an agreement to release these hostages and put a ceasefire into place, then they could risk getting kicked out of Doha. You need to really put the pressure on them in a real way here.
Because he's like, to Qatar, you're the only ones that Hamas will listen to, so you need to get them to get things going here.
Right. You need to tell them that we're going to pull the rug out from under your feet if you don't start moving here and engaging with the Israelis in an agreement that both sides can sign off on.
Really interesting. Kylie, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Tug of War is a production of CNN Audio. This episode was produced by Paolo Ortiz and me, David Rind. Our senior producer is Haley Thomas. Dan DeZula is our technical director, and Steve Lichtai is the executive producer of CNN Audio. We get support from Alex Manasseri, Robert Mathers, John Dianora, Lenny Steinhardt, James Andres, Nicole Pesaru, and Lisa Namorow. Special thanks to Caroline Patterson, Diane Ruggiero, Mike Callahan, and Katie Hinman. We'll be back next week. Talk to you then.
When you work next level. When you play next level. And when it's time to sleep, Sleep Number smart beds are designed to embrace your uniqueness, providing you with high-quality sleep every night. Sleep next level. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, the Queen Sleep Number C4 smart bed is only $1,599. Save $300 for a limited time, only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii.